This night, this to me is, this is Christmas. Tomorrow I get to eat. But tonight is Christmas for me. I get to share it with a family that I love dearly. And some of you are saying, wait a minute, we're not here every Sunday. I don't care. When I get to heaven, when we get to heaven, how big do you think our family's going to be? How are we all going to sit around the table? But yet we know there's just one table, amen? And that table is our Lord, Jesus Christ. So I think about that reality and what he's brought to us and just what he's bringing into our lives. And this evening, the Lord moved in my heart weeks ago to ask us to be the light. To be the light. What light am I talking about? You all know the light I'm talking about. Christmas Eve is all about light. All you have to do is go out along the countryside. How many of you drive around to see all the pretty lights? You know, when I was growing up as a young boy, and some of you have heard this story, but others haven't. And, you know, pastors repeat themselves, so forgive me. When I was a boy, we used to have a gentleman outside of Glen Rock. His name was Brownie. Brownie loved Christmas. It was the only holiday he celebrated. He was a farmer. He raised pigs and sheep, or pigs and cattle, pigs and sheep. I'm thinking of Bill and Ruth over here with their sheep. And he would decorate the entire pasture. It was about 5 acres that he would put Christmas lights in. All over his barn, all over his house. And it was neat because when the planes flew overhead, they said you could see Brownie's place because he always had spelled out on the hillside, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, every year. And what he would do is every Christmas Eve, he would go out, or every year prior to Christmas Eve, he would go out and he would put 1 gallon of gas in a generator. And right at dusk, he'd pull the cord. And he'd let her run until that gallon of gas was done. On Christmas Eve, he filled her up. 3 gallons of gas in that puppy. And it ran all night long. But after Christmas Eve, the lights didn't come back on. Because the light had already come. And the light is now in us. So today, turn in your Bibles with me. I'm going to be in the book of Isaiah. I'm going to be in the book of Isaiah. I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 9. We've already heard a portion of what I'm going to read to you today. We're going to be in chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Verses 1. Through 7. From Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in the first verse, thus saith the word of the Lord. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. The rod of their oppressor as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. How was this to be accomplished? How was this to happen in this day? The land of Naphtali and Zebulun, that was the land of the Samaritans. That was a land of a people that were thought less than the folks of Jerusalem. They were less than Israel because they had done some things that were quite inappropriate. And as we think about where they are, that's who we are. We were those who were outside. We were the Gentiles. We are those who are living in a land of darkness. Even today, we live in a land of darkness. The darkness is the sin that so surrounds each and every one of us. And when we look at the last several years and just the way things have been, how many of you feel like you're getting choked out? And the reality is we're not. But Satan lies. Satan lies. And he tells us that we're defeated. And he brings in other people, people of power, people of prestige, and they talk us down, and we believe them. But I have to ask you, brothers and sisters, how many of you this night are here because you know the salvation of your souls, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and King? Can I get an amen out of the church? Amen. That's why we're here. And that's why we live. For you see, we truly live. The people who live in darkness have life because they're alive. But are they alive to God? No, they're not. Spiritually, they're dead. Spiritually, they have no hope. But we have that hope, and that hope is in us. How many of you wake up every morning and you think to yourself, oh no, not again? Be honest. Yeah, I got young people down here shaking their head. Yes, I know you old people do because your hair's white. So is mine. But yet we go. And why do we go? Because we know there's a hope. And the zeal of the Lord shall bring it to pass. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And this is part of what we heard earlier today. And the section that was cut out, we're going to read because it's important to each and every one of us. It was amazing to me when weeks ago I chose these readings to use in the scriptures. And when I came to this scripture, John 1, 1 through 4, we're going to use that. There are so many better scriptures to use. And I was going to change it. And the Lord said to me, you're going to change my word? And I went, oops, I don't think I want to do that. And then I started to meditate on what he had to say. Let's read the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. And he was in the world, and the world was made known through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I read these words, and does it talk to me? Does it talk to you? Does it talk to us about who we are and how we have that light in us? Yes, it does, because it's speaking here of John. It's speaking here of John. God brought Christ into being. Christ was already in the world. But do you remember the story of John, of his mom, Elizabeth? And Mary went to see him, and she was pregnant with this one who was prophesied about, that he would be the one who cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way." And John, folks looked at him and they thought, well, he must be the one. And he kept telling them, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, but there's one who's coming after me. What does the church do? What is our job today? To point people to Christ, to allow that light that is in us by his grace and by the very faith that we just spoke of, through grace and truth, to speak into this world, to let that light out, the hope of everything. You know, I love this sanctuary today. You all can't see it, but I'm sitting here and I'm looking up there. And how many of you have ever seen the pipe organ with the lights on? It's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see. And I invite you to turn around and look up there before you leave tonight. Because I think about that when I look at that and I see just how beautiful that is. And I hear you play, Miss Susan. And it makes me wonder, what's it going to be like in heaven when the angels are singing with us and the light of glory shines? And that's an instrument, but we are an instrument. Is that light shining from each and every one of us? Do we hear the proclamations of Christ coming out of our mouths and out of our lives? Does the world see the light of Christ in us? And I'm going to tell you right now, yes, it does. That's why it beats you down. That's why it wants you to get dark. It's why it wants you to get quiet, because we can't help but show his glory, because his glory abides in each and every one of us. We are the Johns of this world. We are the ones taking the light of Christ out into the world. And folks, it's not hard to do. You know, I don't want you to think you need to go on the prayer walks and knock on doors and beat people up with a Bible. That's not the way it works. Be you. We heard Beth and Bob say it. He's taken it all away, that all we have to do is be us. The real you. The vulnerable you, the messed up you. How many of you are messed up? I'm telling you, you all are. But if you don't think I am, there's something wrong with you. And if you want proof, ask that lady over there in a purple shirt. See, she's nodding yes. We all are messed up. But we have a Savior who has come to give us life and to shine light that we can see where we're messing up now. And now we can do something about it. You know, I think about all the times that I walked in darkness and did things in ignorance because I didn't know any better. The one thing I told my son years ago, my father was not a Christian man when I was growing up. My father hurt me a lot. But I forgave him, and the awesome thing is I know I will see him again one day, because before he died, months before he died, one of his dear friends, who was a Pentecostal man, led him to Jesus Christ. And my dad spent the last 3 months of his life, while he could, until his eyes went, reading his Bible every day. He doesn't have a whole lot of reward going into heaven, but I know he's there, and that's all that matters. And you and I need to understand that. There are going to be people that we talk to. There are going to be people that we get to witness to, people that we get to be around, and they're just going to get in. But wouldn't it be nicer that they're there than stuck where they will be for all eternity, separated from God in a place of darkness? You know, a lot of people tell me, oh, I'm not worried about going to hell. We're going to have a big party. No, their place was going to be full, but you are going to be totally alone. You're going to be locked into your own thoughts of how much you rejected God. And that's it. That's the truth. The word tells us that very reality. I don't want anybody to go there. On this night of nights, we have the greatest story ever told. And it's not a story, it's history. It is history. It is written down not only in the Bible, but it is written in other books. That it cannot be denied that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, and is crucified, dead, and buried. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And what's the rest of it? And I believe. And I believe. Those last couple pieces, I don't really care about. I believe. How many of you are going to say that tonight? I believe. I want to hear it. I believe. We are that light. And God is asking us to shine that light out into the world. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, John 8, verse 12. One little verse. Because I want you to understand, Jesus is saying this. You have been given this truth. You are that light, the light of the world. When Jesus was speaking, he says, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You have that light of life in you when you accept Jesus Christ. And that light cannot be extinguished. Jesus said, no one can snatch you from my hand. That light cannot be put out. That hope cannot be put out. There's a lot of folks out there that they're like, yeah, but you know, you Christians, you know, you say God's good and boy, I see you suffer. Yeah, because we're in this world. We're stuck in this body. It's a body of sin. Can I get an amen? But we're waiting for the day when we're going to have a purified body, when we will live forever and we will be with him in the heavenly Jerusalem, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years and then eternity. People look at me and they say, well, it takes more to believe in that than it does to believe in evolution. No, because life does not come from non-life. Life can only come from life. And life is God the Father through Christ the Son. You know, it amazes me because what was the first thing he created? What was the first thing he created? Light. Let there be light. Because without light, there is no life. Without light, there is no life. You know, it's funny if you look around here, and we had to blow the candles out down the middle because unfortunately, they're beautiful. But we need to get battery operated ones to put in there because I don't want anybody to get burnt. I really don't. But I want you to think about, look at all the lights in this sanctuary. And in just a little while, we're going to light some more lights. And then we're going to put the big lights out. And we're going to stand here in the light of Christ, the spiritual truth. But folks, I want you to understand, you stand in that spiritual truth every day. Every day you stand in that spiritual truth. And sometimes it feels tough. Sometimes it feels like you're alone. Sometimes it feels like, yeah, but boy, the light's not shining very brightly. Nope, that's wrong. You see, that's what the evil one wants you to think. The reality is he can't put your light out. But if he can lie to you and get you to believe it, you'll begin to start doubting. It isn't that your light's ever gone out. He said, you simply don't see it yourself anymore. But I'll guarantee you, people that know you're a Christian, they see it and they wonder, what's going on? So may we be reminded from the Word of God. Turn in Matthew into chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Just two verses. This is Christ speaking to you, speaking to me. From verse 14 through 16, actually it's three verses. And he says to us in this word, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You and I have a mandate from Christ. We're not the Savior. Aren't you glad? I know my church is glad I'm not God because I mess up enough that they all know it. And I think that's the humility that God gives me. I don't want you to think I'm God. I don't want you to think I'm that great a man. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. They call me reverend. But we do not revere any man. Can I get an amen? We revere one. We revere one. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are that light that he has given each and every one of us. It's a gift. It is the gift of life. And that life cannot be taken away. So this day, as we go out into this dark world, I want you to understand, you are shining, just as Bob told us earlier, and Miss Beth told us earlier, that as Moses would go in, today, where are we? We're in the temple of God. We're in the presence of God. He's right here among us, with us, worshiping, teaching, admonishing, lifting us up. And when we leave here tonight, we're going to shine the glory of God into this world. Now, is it going to look like Moses did, that he had that supernatural glow? I'm going to tell you right now, in the darkness of the spirit world, you better believe it is. You better believe it is. And I'm going to tell you all right now, tomorrow, the evil one's going to throw something at you. Your turkey's going to fall out of the oven. Your filling is going to burn. Something is going to upset. Your pumpkin pie is going to flop. Whatever it is. But when it does, I want you to look up and say, praise Jesus, I'm on the right road. Can I get an amen out of the church? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you ain't touching the darkness ain't going to touch you. But because the light of Christ shines in us, he is going to come. But in the name of Jesus Christ, the church says, amen. And be gone, Satan.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.